was read for your hearing from Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the verse is number 35. Let us reread it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Let us now go to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again because you have extended the days of our lives to show us a brand new day, your day, oh Lord. Father, even though it was chilly yesterday morning, you improved it for us today that we may come out to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, oh Heavenly Father, for those that are here, but we're praying as well for those that are traveling, that they may have traveling grace and arriving mercy, O Lord. Father, we thank you for those who are sick among us. And we pray for those, especially the brother Williamson, who is going to be having surgery on his eyes this week. So we pray and ask you to be kind and blessed unto him, that he may surpass all the surgeries and tests that they shall give him. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us to be here and to see one another once again. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are sick and on our sick list. We pray it for Sister Harris, who is going through turmoil and troubles with her husband, who is in intensive care. We pray for the Williams household as they have asked for prayer on behalf of their family. And we pray and ask you to be with all families everywhere, especially those who are raising our young people today. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for this congregation. In particular, O Heavenly Father, we thank you for our leadership and their families, as well as the membership in their families. Father, be with those brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and strengthen those who shall come from this point on. Father, we thank you for everything you do for us, and we're just praying and thanking you especially for Jesus, your Son, of whom you sent down to this earth, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. And Father, through your word, we have found these things to be so, and let us continue to believe in your word and trust in your ways, O Lord. Father, we thank you for all of those who are here this morning, and we pray for those who still may be on their way. We ask all of these blessings and others in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let us all say, Amen. There are many questions that people ask about the Word of God, questions about their lives, questions about their death, and many more questions. Now, I'm not going to try to answer all the questions I've ever heard asked, because then you won't leave here today. But I'll just try to highlight up on two often asked questions. The first question asked by those who are looking to find a godly and a better way. If I can successfully answer just these two questions, it might help someone along the road of life, and may help them to come to Christ for the first time, or even go closer once again. The first question many ask is, why do we study God's Word? Rather than to give the short answer, which is because the Bible tells us to, we're going to look at what we're studying can offer us, especially if we know the Lord. That's question number one. So why do we study? Well, let us look at what the Bible can teach us. The Bible lets us know in the word spoken by Jesus in Matthew 24 and 35, in which I just read, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. The words of God spoken yesterday are still valid today, and they shall not leave us. They shall not be lost throughout the annals of time. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word will stay and be here. It's the foundation of this world. Even the foundation of this world may often tremble, but God's Word shall not go anywhere. We shall pass from this life before the Word of God does. Every word of Christ is sure and pure. We shall be judged by these words. By the giver of these words shall judge us. In John chapter 12 and verse number 48, he that rejected me and received not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. If we choose not to study and obey God's word, we are rejecting him, and he shall be our judge. How do we know that the Bible is true? Well, that's another part of the first question. How do we know that the Bible is not true? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's impossible for God to lie, according to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18. And since he cannot lie, and the Bible was given through the inspiration of God, it must be true. Let us consider for a moment, using our logical minds, if we will. What would it profit God to lie? What would it profit God to lie to us? Because he already owns everything. He made this world for us. He can have it back anytime he wants it back. Why would he have allowed his only son to go through Calvary for us? Why would he tell us in John 15 and verse number 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Why would God lie about these things that are written in his word? He has no profit in lying. He wants to save us. Wants us to be saved, but it's us who are destroying our own selves. The Bible will teach us that there is no other book like it. For it is the way, the very word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Jeremiah even said in his word, that his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. So I'll tell you something about the word of God. It didn't just arrive with the New Testament. There's also the Old Testament. And the word of God is still standing today. And it's going to be standing forever. The Bible will build us up. According to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. The Bible will increase our faith according to Romans 10 and 17. The Bible can do and teach these things that I have mentioned and many more and much more if we but trust in it. For it is the word of the Lord. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 17 and 5 regarding Jesus. He said, hear ye him, for this is my son whom I am well pleased. Do you believe that the word of God is true and that the word of God will stay, stick, and stand? It will. Look at the scripture again, at the text in verse number 34 of Matthew 24, where the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words shall not pass away. In other words, everything that we know is going to disappear. We may not be able to see it all, but God's word will still stand. God's word will be here throughout all times. God's word, that is what's going to judge us in the end. God's word is what we live by. And you know what? I ask the question. What's the sense of being a Christian if you don't believe in God's word? What's the sense of being a Christian if you don't trust in God's word? What's the sense of being a Christian if you don't believe the Bible? I'll tell you, this one thing I do know, that God's word will stand because the Bible tells us so. The second question that the Bible answers is, people ask the question, why do I need to be baptized? Again, the short answer would be because the Bible tells us to. But we shall not just go there, we shall take the long road. We shall go the farthest road. In Matthew 28 and verse number 19, Jesus charged His disciples to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The second question has ties to the first question. In other words, when we study the Word of God, we will know why we need to be baptized. To an unstudied, non-believing person, the message of Jesus is foolishness. But to us, it is those of us who believe it is truth and the way over and over again, we know that our Savior is alive and well. The world treats Him as though He was dead and acts as though they are never going to die. But I tell you something, and I tell you this often, all of us are going to die. You may not want to face the fact, but every last one of us are not going to exist one of these days. And as much as the older we get, the more we think about it. The more we consider the fact that my days are winding down. The more we consider the fact that death is real and we accept it for what it is, but we ought to try to live right so that we can die right, and if we die right, we can get up right. So when we look at it, we study the Word of God, we will begin to know and learn why we need to be baptized. There is no question that the Bible commands baptism, and the disciples followed the Word of God. In Acts chapter 10, starting around about verse number 44, Peter spoke to the Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. But by verse number 48, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. There are some who believe that we can be baptized by sprinkling. Now, I just got to say a word or two about sprinkling. If Jesus was not sprinkled, and He had no reason to be baptized at all, He could have took the short way, but He wasn't sprinkled. So why do we think that we can be sprinkled? The Bible says that Jesus, when He came up out of the water, a dove came down and said, and the voice of God from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." So if Jesus wasn't sprinkled, how do we get into the theory of sprinkling is okay to be baptized? The same word that tells us to be baptized also tells us how to be baptized. In Colossians chapter 2 in the verse number 12, we are to be buried with Him in baptism. Now, can you bury me if you just touch me across my forehead? I don't think so. Can you bury me if you just sprinkle water on me? I don't think so. Not only can one not be buried if they are sprinkled and not taken under the water, and you see, it gives us the element that must be used. Water is the element, immersion is the method. We must follow, and man has no authority to change the way baptism is to be accomplished. Now, I know man thinks that he can do many great things. Man thinks that he can change or pervert the Word of God to fit his own needs. But I'll tell you something, church. If you're going to follow the Bible, you must follow it to a T in order to be right. You can't just pick out, "Oh, I like this scripture. This will fit the situation that I'm in, and I'll just use this one and live by this one." You can't do that. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Baptism is designed to save us through Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3 in the verses 21, baptism saves us not simply by the washing away of the filth from the flesh, but by Jesus' resurrection, or by His resurrection. How do we know this? Well, look over with me in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible tells us, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name that can save us. Not ourselves, not our family, not someone else, but only Jesus and the mighty cross on which He gave His life upon. Again, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That answers the second question. And as I told you, that is better than the short way, but not the longest way. You better believe what the Word of God says if you want to get into heaven one day. The Bible teaches us who we are. We were once dead until Jesus came and saved us. In Ephesians chapter 2 in the verses number 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. We came from the same place those Ephesian people were being, that Paul was talking to at the time. We share a common history. But thanks be to God, we don't have to live like that because Jesus came into our world and hung, bled, and died. In verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that at one time we were like these Ephesians. We were without Christ. Without Christ, we are hopeless, helpless, as well as homeless, just like these Ephesians were. At the time, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's Ephesians 2 and verse number 12, completed. We too are like that, without the Lord. When we allow Him to be in our lives, we can notice a difference. If we are without the Lord, we are strangers, we are pilgrims, we are without the Lord in this world. And you know, how can we get along in the world without the Lord? The Lord is the very essence of our being. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us food to eat. He gives us clothes to wear. And don't think that the job that you work on provided all these things. That was just a means of you getting these things. But God has made the way and opened the way that we can receive these. You know, without God, you wouldn't even have a job. So if you don't have a job, you can't afford these things. So some folks say, well, I'll find a way. Yeah, you can find a way. But what happens when you need to replace something? What happens when the shoes you're wearing get holes in their soles? What happens when the pants you wear become too tight for you to button up and close up? What happens when the coat that you're wearing becomes holy and starts to rip and doesn't keep you warm anymore? It needs to be replaced. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. We need the Lord. I'll say it again. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to come into our lives and before we can notice a difference. When He comes into our lives, we can become part of the body of Christ who is the head. We are the branches. We can become the branches, but Christ is the vine. We can become the building. We are the building, but Christ is the builder. If we live righteous, we can die and live on through Christ Jesus. If we be in Christ, we are a new creature. But thank God today for we can find Jesus in the Bible. We can learn that He lives in heaven and He sits on the right hand of the Father as He intercedes unto God on our behalf. Thank God today for the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, how that though He were a son, He learned obedience by suffering. How that being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. Thank God today we must know according to the Bible that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Thank God for the Bible. It can answer everything we need to know about life and about living, about dying, about heaven and about hell. If we would just pick it up, open it up, and read from it. You know, it's no good just keeping a Bible. You know, and I like to use, as folk today, now I'm not very high on technology. I don't know it all, so I don't like to toot my horn about it, if you will. But there are some folk who rely a lot on technology. And you can read the Bible from your computer nowadays. You don't even have to own a physical Bible anymore. You can go to the computer. You can go to your iPhone if you got the internet on there and you can read the Bible. There's no excuse that we should not read the Bible today. But there are some still who say, well, they don't maybe not say this, but they act as though it doesn't make any difference if I read the Bible or not. But I'm gonna tell you one thing about that. One day you're gonna wish you had read it. One day you're gonna wish that the Bible would open up to the pages that you need to see and just pray and ask God to grant unto you the Heavenly Father that He grants unto you His will and His ways unto you. If it wasn't for the Bible this morning, I couldn't read verse 35 where it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When you think about it, God has given us the way. He has given us the way of life, death. He has given us the way to heaven and tried to steer us away from going to hell. But still, you must read the Bible. You must read, you must open it up and study God's Word. You must open it up and read from it because the Word of God is here to stay. It shall not pass away. The Word of God is forever. The sun, moon, and stars shall stop shining, but the Word of God is here forever. The oceans and the seas may dry up, but the Word of God is here forever. One day we shall draw our last breath, but the Word of God will be alive and lasting. Our tombstones one day will read a space and time. There will be a word that says born, and then it'll give a year. There will be another space where it would say died, and then it'll give a date. But the Word of God will still be here, for it is not ending. It is forever. Amen. The Word of God shall live on even when we are not living. The Word of God shall never go anyplace. And I suggest this morning that if you haven't read it, if you are still making up your mind whether you want to believe in the Bible or not, I suggest that you open it up and just give it a chance. Give God's Word a chance in your life. And some may say, well, that sounds well and good, preacher, but I just don't trust the Bible. Well, you'd rather trust man? See, man has no place to put you. Man can't save you. Man can help you teach you, but man can't save you. See, as much as I stand in before you and try to teach you, I can't save you. I have no heaven, and I certainly have no hell to put you into. And if I had one of the two places or either both of them, would I be just in giving you the place to go to? I probably would not, because I'm a human being. But the Word of God is fair and just, and we shall be judged by a righteous judge. So when you think about it, the only way to get the Word of God is through the Holy Bible. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'll tell you one thing that I've learned about the Bible. I've learned that everything that's in the Bible has some kind of meaning for our lives. Oh, every scripture may not refer to you, but everything in the Bible has something about your life in it. Everything in God's Word can teach us something about either where we've been, where we're going, and how to get there. Everything in God's Word is profitable for instruction and righteousness. I tell you something about the Word of God. It is the only thing that can save us. It can guide us, send us on the right path to being saved and receive heaven as our home. Life magazine can't do that. Essence magazine can't do that. People magazine can't do that. The Sun Times can't do that. The Tribune can't do that. But the Word of God can do that. And when you think about it, the Word of God has more in it than any one of those publications I just mentioned. Because it can tell you everything you need to know about yourself. As I said, it can tell you where we've been, where we're going, and how to get there. So when I consider the Word of God, I think just how great God is. We sing that song many times, "How Great Thou Art." And do we really understand what we're saying when we're singing those words? How great Thou art. He is great. He is the one and only God. He is the one that can save us. He is the one that's trying to give us the right direction to heaven. Oh, His directions are right, but we're not always right about following the direction. So when you consider all the things that are going on, and my time is about up, but when you consider all of the things that are going on in this world today, wouldn't it be more profitable to trust in God's Word than to trust in man's Word? You know, there are things going on in this world that are evil and just downright hateful. You've got people in this world today whacking off people's heads. All, and they say it in the name of their God. They claim it to be part of their religious upbringing. But you know, the Bible never talked about, never suggested that to us. There are people today who think that it's all right to be different than one another. And yes, I'll touch on that. God never suggested that man is supposed to be with man and woman is supposed to be with woman. But yet and still, there are people who are going that way, and then they have nerve enough to get mad if I don't accept their way of life. But I'll tell you something. The only way of life that we ought to be accepting of is in God's Word. And if it's said in God's Word it's not right, then it's not right. If it says in God's Word that it's wrong, then it's wrong. And now if God had wanted us to be like certain people want us to be, then He would have put it in His Bible. And it's not in there. And one last thing before I bring this message to a close. If you are not studying God's Word, you need to reconsider. Why do I need to reconsider? Because everything that's in God's Word is true. Everything that's in God's Word. And I'll tell you something. I might add this along. There are some interesting stories in the Bible. There are some stories in the Bible that are interesting. Because they tell a story. And you know, we can relate. We as people can relate when we see somebody just like us. And we can find stories in the Bible of different things that we can relate to. And if it'll help us come to God, then we ought to read some of that. Do you know the story of the cross? Do you know how that they put Jesus on trial? If you want to call it a trial. Do you know how that some people were in the background calling for Jesus to be crucified? Do you know how that when they led Him out and made Him carry His cross, how that He struggled under the weight of the cross, how that He got to Calvary's Hill and then they mounted Him on the cross, then they stuck nails in His hand and in His feet, how that He died on the cross, not because He was guilty of any crime, but because we were guilty of sinning in our lives. Do you understand that the Word of God can teach us well about ourselves? Do you know that the Word of God is good for us? The Word of God is good not only for us, but it's good to us if we just but study the Word of God. For the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible is here to say the Word of God is forever. Do you understand that one day, when we are no longer here in this world, it's going to be that same Bible that you reject, those same words that you reject today are going to judge us. Those same words. And I know it's difficult, especially when we're young, we find it a little bit more troubling to be just on the side of God. Because I got too much fun ahead of me to bog myself down in the Bible. But I'll tell you something. The best time to get right with God is while you can. Because there's going to come a time when you won't be able to get right with God. So you start out by reading and studying the Word of God. And then you learn that you need to be baptized. And when you get baptized, you become a part of the body of Christ. What do I do, preacher? If I need to become a member of the body of Christ, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. It's not too cold out to get baptized. Right. If you need to be baptized today, we can baptize you. At least Brother Jackson can. And if you've already been there, but you've turned around, you walked astray, and you fell off the race course, then you ask God to forgive you and ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger and come back again. Just like the prodigal son came back, so can you. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 5.